the book of Haggai, turn just about to the New Testament, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, chapter 1, and we're going to talk today about God's messengers with God's messages. I will read you perhaps three scriptures, two from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Verse 1, Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Now, verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people. This unique expression is only found in this one place, God's messenger with God's message. Now, turn to Malachi, chapter 2, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. I see. Then, the priest is a messenger of the Lord. All right, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, John has sent disciples to question the Lord. And our Savior, in verse 9, speaking of him, says, But wherefore went ye out to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the fellowship of the saints, our being together, enjoying one another, and then, the best of all, having your word open and spoken on and blessed to our hearts. These are things that we've enjoyed, our God, but they cannot be enjoyed apart from thy Spirit bringing these things to pass. And so for that reason, our God, we would beseech thee to empower lips and to prepare hearts so that our coming together might be a profitable time, that after it's over, we would be able to say, it was good to have been together with the people of God. So in thy goodness, grant this to us, we pray. You know our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. And bless us this hour, and exalt the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Who would ever have thought that when I was a little boy, I would have been doing the same thing in the occupation that I enjoyed, a secular occupation, that I would be doing then the same thing that I am doing now in a sacred occupation. You say, well, what is that? How is it that you could be doing in a secular occupation, gaining experience, in that which when you mature, you would be doing in a sacred occupation? The answer is this. I was a delivery boy for Western Union. Some of you only know Western Union as the ones that send out money. But there was a time when telegrams were sent and were delivered to your door. And the ones who delivered them were young fellows such as I. I was in my teens, and I had an Ivor Johnson bicycle, and the messages would come in on the ticker tape, and the telegraph, and then the man would take this message and he would get a piece of paper and he would glue it down. It was usually ever so brief. And then put it in an envelope, give it to me. And then, in a secular way, I would go and deliver messages to people. Well, I'm doing the same thing today. The only difference is that I am delivering sacred messages. My occupation is the same. And that is why I read to you from those three scriptures, and there were others that I did not read to you, but perhaps I will tell you about them in the course of the message. There were scriptures that tell about what God's servants are to do. And that is, they are to be his messengers. They are to take the words from him and deliver them to the people of God. Now, I saw a great similarity between my responsibilities as a Western Union messenger, because it never occurred to me, when the message was given by one party to be delivered to another, I never opened the telegram and changed the words. The words that were there were the words that the party sending the message wanted the party that was receiving the message to read. And this is identical with what God expects of his messengers today. This is why it is so unique. It says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, with the Lord's message. But there are ever so many of the Lord's messengers today who do not deliver the Lord's message. And this is the contradiction. Just as the message was sent and delivered in the identical words that it was received, in like manner, a true messenger of God receives the message from God and delivers his message. He has no authority to alter it, to change it, to refuse to deliver it, but whatever the words are, he is to receive those words and he is to deliver those words. The Lord's messenger is to deliver the Lord's message. And here is what I have found, that there were the greatest varieties of messages that I was to deliver. There were some of them that were ever so happy, like, happy birthday. I hope your whole life will be filled with eating ice cream and cake, something like that. Another one, business trip, longer than expected, will not be home until Thursday. And another one, am short on cash, send money immediately. All sorts of messages like that. And sad to say, also, I delivered this kind of message. It is with sorrow that we report to you that your father has died unexpectedly. Just as had I delivered a few years later, we regret to inform you that all of those messages were from people to people. And what they said, they wanted to be delivered to others, and God is the same way. God has always had messages for his creatures. At the first, he delivered them personally. Before sin came in, God would come in the cool of the day and walk with his creatures and converse with them. And before sin came into the world, the Lord gave the message, refrain from eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You may eat everything else. And so God communicated personally at the first with his creatures. But then man sinned and he was expelled from the garden. And then intermittently God would personally speak to his people. But after that, God started sending his messengers. Now, the messengers were not always prophets. In the case of Haggai, it was. It says, then Haggai the prophet, He was the messenger of the Lord, and he spake the message of the Lord. That is why I read to you from Malachi chapter 2. It says, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, for he is the messenger of the Lord to thee. And concerning John the Baptist, he is the fulfillment of that prophecy in Malachi 3. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. So you say, then a messenger from God, it could be a prophet, it could be a priest. Yes, I did not tell you this, but when it says that John sent his messengers to converse with the Lord Jesus, it is the same word that is used of him by God as being the messenger of God. And in fact, we are not aware of it, but the word Malachi means my messenger. And one other step, the word messenger is translated indiscriminately angel in one place and messenger in another, because God's messengers are his servants, his deputies that he sends forth, and therefore at times they are called messengers because that is what they are. On other occasions, instead of messengers, God tells us who they are. They are angels. But the word angel is messenger. And I was going to read this verse to you. This is what it says in the last book of the last verse, chapter of the Bible. It says this, I, Jesus, have sent my messenger, my angel. So God, from the beginning, has always had something to say to his people. And when he himself spoke it, that always was exactly the way he wanted it. And then prophets began to be raised up, and those prophets, under the power of the Spirit of God, would deliver in the very words of God the message that God wanted delivered. But then there arose false messengers, false prophets. So it is a rare thing when we read in the Bible that Haggai was God's messenger with God's message. Why? Because here is a man that can communicate with God, and notice that God does not directly speak now to men with the frequency that he did in the past. But God would communicate with a man like Haggai, and then let Haggai give that communication to the people, the multitudes, to individuals. But God spoke through messengers. And it is essential that that happen today. Because I venture to say that God has tried to speak to some of you personally in your heart. But you shut out the message of God. And so for that reason, God raises up messengers that will come and fearlessly and boldly tell you the words that come from God. And at times when God speaks and tells you to convey a message, it is a frightening thing. Think of that little boy, Samuel, who when he was sleeping and God gave him a message that was to be delivered to Eli. And Eli understood and he said, you must tell me what God told you. And little Samuel did not want to tell him because it was a heavy message. But Eli said, the Lord punish you if you do not tell me what he said. And then Samuel, also God's messenger with God's message, told of the downfall of the house of Eli. So, there have been messengers, and at times they are youthful messengers, at times they are priests, at times they are prophets, and at times, this is what we must understand, that all of us, in a greater or lesser degree, are God's messengers. Why? Because it says, we, therefore, are ambassadors for Christ. We are they who have a mission and a message from God, and all of us are responsible to take this message and deliver it to the people. And when we have that message, Paul says, be not ashamed of me, the prisoner of the Lord. And our Savior says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful, this adulterous generation. And so the message that God gives us to give to mankind is not always a pleasant message, and it's not always one that we want to deliver, but we must be God's messengers with God's messages, because the people are not prepared to listen to the Spirit of God. They become insensitive. More than that, they become callous, and the voice of God cannot be heard. The Spirit of God is speaking. But why do you think the Bible says, quench not the Spirit, breathe not the Spirit? God is seeking to speak to us individually in our hearts. But if we will not, if we shut out that voice, then God raises up his messengers, and they roar the message of God, and then we cannot hear. I will tell you this much about Haggai. Have I finished reading the message that God sent through his messenger? It would have been one that was a blessing and a comfort and an encouragement to the heart of Israel. Why? Because Haggai said this, the Lord tells me to tell you these words, I am with you. You say, what a wonderful message for a messenger from God to come and tell the people of God, I am with you. What is better? Nothing is better than that. But that was the third thing he had told them. The first thing he had to tell them was what they were saying in their hearts when God's Spirit was working upon them to go and do the work on building the temple of God. This is what they were saying. The Spirit of God was convicting them, work on the house of God. And they said, it is not time. It is not time to come and build the house of God. And God said to Haggai, ask them this question. Is it time for you to build your own houses with ceilings that are fully equipped while the house of God lies desolate? Ask them that question. And when they were asked that question, it was unpleasant. And he had to tell them this, consider your ways. But who of us want to consider our ways? Think of all the secular material things that you're involved in that are so important to you. And God says, consider your ways. Now, compare what you're doing for yourself or what you're doing for the building of God's kingdom. Compare them. I don't want to think of those things. That's why God has to send his messengers, his prophets. Why? He's been telling them in their heart by the Spirit, telling them silently. They would not listen. And so he sends a man like Haggai and he says, you must listen. God is asking you, is it right for you to run about to your own houses, taking care of your own interests at the neglect of the spiritual things of God? And it smote them. And then at the same time, he said, consider this. He said, you planted much, you reaped little. You eat, but you're not full. You drink, but you're not full of drink. You put clothes on, but you're not warm. And you earn wages, but when you earn those wages, they're put into a bag with holes. He said, consider your ways. Do you know why this is? No, I don't know why this is. It's because you're neglecting my work, and you're taken up with your own interests. All right. Then, finally, in 1:13 of Haggai, after those brutal messages, after that, it says that the people feared. The people obeyed. It said the Spirit of God stirred Zerubbabel and Joshua and the children of Israel. They were moved. And then it said, then the people of God began the work of God on the house of God. God did not send this message, I am with you, at the first. But when they were stirred, and they were filled with fear, and they confessed their sins, and they saw the neglect of the things of God, then God said, give them this message, I'm with you. Now, that is why God has to send his messengers, because I'm afraid that we are not going to sit down every day and consider our ways. Why? Because I would be looking at the things of God, seeing how little time I put upon them, and I would be looking at the things of myself And considering those things makes us uncomfortable. It shows us what we are. But when a servant of God comes and gives the message of God, we have to listen. Do you realize that at times when the messenger of God is speaking, people stick their fingers in their ears? That's what happened when Stephen was preaching. They did not want to hear it. You see, they would not listen to the Spirit of God within, and God sent his prophet, his messenger without. And when the prophet was speaking the message from God, they stuck their fingers in their ears. But God said, I'm going to get this message to you, whether you want to listen to it or not. And so I said that from the beginning, God had his messengers and God had his messages. And at times, the messages are refused, but God continues to send those messages, and finally, they are successful. Now, I want to give you this detail about the prophecy of Haggai. You will discover that for 17 years after the work of God had been begun, there was a threat, and the children of Israel ceased doing the work of God for 17 years. And here they are. They've come back under the decree of Cyrus, but having begun well, they are threatened and they become afraid, and so the work of God is neglected. And it goes on for 17 years until God raises up one of his messengers and he says, go tell them. And if I read this correctly, this messenger was nearest to the age of our brother Wartenberg than anybody else. Are you ready in the 90s to go and start giving God's message? Because he asked this question. This is what I'm telling you. He said, how many of you were present that saw that first glorious temple of Solomon and now have looked at the foundation of this temple? And that is 70 years ago. You see, from 586 to 516 is 70 years. And then there had to be that age, 10, 20 or more, when he saw that first building of Solomon before it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. And so here is a man, Haggai, and God has him to wait 17 years, and he's getting older, 70, 80, 90. He's waiting all of these years. And finally God says, speak. And so the last thing he does in his life is to deliver faithfully the message of God. And this old man speaks this message, and it says the Spirit of God stirred their hearts, stirred the heart of the civil leader of Israel, the religious leader of Israel, and the Israelites themselves, the people of Israel. And then they feared, and they began to work on the house of God. His ministry lasted the 6th month, the 7th month, and then he spoke in the 9th month. This man had a ministry of 3 months, and John the Baptist had a ministry of 6 months. And so at times, God waits until some are ever so old, and then he raises them up, and like a meteor, they go forth before our eyes, and they convey God's message to us. And then there are others like John the Baptist, some 30 years of age, and they serve 6 months. And then God takes them away. But they are God's messengers with God's messages. And God sends them to us. And that is what he wants today. We are ambassadors for Christ. And let me ask, does God have a message for us, his church, today? He had a message through Jeremiah in chapter 29 to the Israelites 70 years before. He had a message to Israel through Haggai 70 years later. He had a message for the children of Israel just before Christ came on the scene because he had this prophecy. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face who shall prepare thy way before thee. He had that messenger And does he have messages for the church today? Why, of course he does. He has 7 messages for the church today. To the angel, and the word angel is messenger, to the messenger of the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, he says, give them this message. And this is what is so regrettable. I gave you the good things that Haggai, the Lord's messenger with the Lord's message, gave to them. I am with you, saith the Lord. But of the 7 churches, the messages that Christ sends through his church, the regrettable thing is that 5 of them, they are challenged to repent, you are wrong. But thank God, in 2 of them, in the church at Smyrna and in the church at Philadelphia, God tells them, I can comfort you. I can strengthen you. Yes, I have a message for you. And I'm wondering what God's message is for us today. Is it one of reproof, rebuke, exhortation? Or is it one of comfort and strength? Because we have a little strength and we haven't denied the Lord's name. And we're in a time of suffering. But God has his messengers and God has his messengers. Consider and see what his message is for you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, that was said, you have never left yourself without a witness. Thy Spirit witnesses daily to us. Forgive us, O Lord, if we have become seared as with a hot iron, and raise up those messengers, our God, who will faithfully declare your messages, because that is what we must hear today. Let us not hear what Jeremiah was to tell 70 years ago, but let us hear what your message is for us today. So, our God, speak, and as Samuel was instructed, let us reply, speak, Lord, thy servant hear it. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.